Gayle King. She was being interviewed. Ryan Clark. He was interviewing her, whatever. And, you know, she was in a relationship with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. She gave him some money.
Do you think you could lend me $4,000?
He jumped out with $4,000 out the gate.
And he said, I promise I'll pay you back by Thursday. He did pay me back on Thursday. But I didn't feel the same. It just changed the relationship for me.
She lost respect for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I dare he come to me thinking he can come to me for support as his girlfriend financially. That's that part where I feel like, you know, they didn't have a partnership. A woman like that, I don't see what benefit she would be for anything in your life other than a hole.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not someone you want to get in the trenches with. Like, like, I have to be doing great the entire time. Or if I fumble and I need support, I can't come to you. If I do, you're going to leave and go to someone else.
Yeah. Then she needs to go to a man that don't need to borrow $400. Needs to go to a man that's making $400K a year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to take everything that comes with that. I'm not saying that man is not a good guy, but you're going to have to compete the same way this brother that asked to borrow $400 competed.
The Hottest Boy Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
You saw that you couldn't find really much pictures of your family, but all of a sudden you start transitioning, start posting more of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you had that epiphany,
boy,
something else changed when you start doing that.
I told you about that.
Yeah, like you found out that, you know, it ain't just like the celebrities that can be fickle. It's them fans. Man, they very fickle too.
I was at work, and this girl, I was talking to this girl, and she said, how come you won't post your wife? I was like, I don't need to post. But I also had a character. My character was flirty.
Mm-hmm.
So I flirted with Jemele Hill. I flirted with Carrie Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so my character was, I started with Ronda Rousey. So I developed the character that was a flirt. And this girl was like, how come you don't post your wife? I'm like, what you mean? She was like, that's disrespect. You're married. You ain't posting your wife. I kind of shouldn't have listened to her, but it was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, post your wife. You need to post your wife. You love her, don't you? Yeah, I love my wife. Fuck you mean? We'll post her. I said, all right, cool. Dude, this was 2016. I posted my wife on, you remember WCW?
Mm-hmm.
Women's Crush Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I posted my wife. My followers dropped by 2,000. Just like that.
That's crazy.
Just like that. And these ain't women. So what does that tell you? These ain't women. The women stayed. These people, these football fans, these diehard football fans, they don't want you to have red blood in your veins. They don't want you to have heart. They don't want you to have emotion. These diehard football fans, you are their outlet and you are their way of reaching Ray Lewis because they can't reach him.
Right.
So I found that people were watching my videos and blurring their eyes as if they're watching Ray Lewis
because
they can't reach him, but I'm commenting back.
Mm-hmm.
So you're our Ray Lewis. You are our hero. You are our segue to the professional linebacker that whoever it may be that we can't get in touch with.
Yeah.
So when I showed that I was human, when I showed that there's something else in my life that I don't walk around and show the pads, they dipped. They got up out of there. And they did the same thing when I posted. A long time ago, I posted myself lifting weights. I was doing like 315 or something. They got up out of there. We don't want to see you lift weights. We want those shoulder pads on your shoulders, man.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want you to do anything to distort this little reality that they've been dreaming about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're making us realize this is not a reality.
Yeah.
Like, you posting your family, this ain't Ray Lewis' family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what are you doing? Don't mess up my dreams.
It's kind of scary, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, doing that, you know, you rebranded yourself after that.
Yeah. More recently.
So, you know, you lost a lot of followers.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, to me, it looked like you were just cutting fat.
Yeah.
So how do you start your rebranding process and, you know, how did it feel after that?
So the rebranding occurred too recently. And that was, I didn't rebrand myself until I got a job.
Mm.
So when I had a job, a higher paying job. So when I was doing the whole Not Ray Lewis thing, there were some opportunities out there where I was doing custom stuff. Mm-hmm. I was making a little bit of money here and there, making YouTube money. But hell, it was like, all right, you know what? I'm going job to job. This ain't working out. This ain't working out. I need to get a career. 36 years old and I'm working jobs. I need to get a career. So when I started working where I am now, I'm like, well, shit. After I started getting a couple of paychecks, I started getting a couple of promotions and no one's judging me by my exterior.
Mm-hmm.
My boss they're pushing me because of my articulate, my articulation, my knowledge. They're pushing me because of who I am. I'm like, this is perfect for me.
Yeah.
So you know what? Let's have some fun. Let's get back on the internet and let's do some stuff, you know? So what's funny, I log back in. I'm jumping all over the place. But when I stopped doing it, when I finally logged back in, I had messages from Ray Lewis. Like, hey, bro, what's going on? You ain't doing the videos no more. Like, yeah, yeah. You want me to make you famous again? You want me to give you more opportunities? Okay, I got you. And that's why I said, I got you. I got you. So I did a couple more videos in 2018, 2019. Damn, it seemed like, don't seem like that long ago. But yeah, he had been reaching out to me when I was in my hiatus. But so when I rebranded myself, it wasn't my plan to rebrand myself. I was completely done with social media. But I had, it was a challenge. It was a challenge. Can you get those views being yourself? It was internal.
Right.
I got those views off of the strength of another man.
Right.
Can you get those views being Andre? Because I already went viral 3 times at this point. So yeah, let's try it, you know? And I talked to you and you said, hey, it's going to be a challenge. You're going to lose a ton. Man, I lost all my followers. And I don't even have a lot, but I lost a lot of them. And you said, it's going to be a challenge, but keep with it. Because, you know, I'm the kind of person, when it comes to this phone, I quit.
Right.
All you got to do is take your thumb and hard press on the app and you delete it and you remove that reality.
Yeah.
You remove that from your reality. That, it's just that simple. People don't understand that. Man, I hard press in a heartbeat. Delete all that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you say, you know, stick with it. It'll be a challenge. So I challenged myself to seeing if I could rebrand myself. So all I did was record myself lifting weights. The easiest shit I've been doing since I was 14 years old. And I went viral doing that. And doing something I do every day at lunch. Went visit one of my buddies at NC State. He's a strength coach. One of his defensive linemen was talking shit. He didn't know I was that guy when it came to lifting weights. Not in football, but lifting weights. And I grabbed some dumbbells and just started playing with them.
Yeah.
And I posted it and that shit went crazy.
So I want to pivot real quick. So I see you, you know, online talking a lot, you know, about your family, your baby girl and things like that. How did you meet your wife?
She was the first female I met in college. August 15th, 1999, 3:36 p.m. I'm a nerd. I remember everything. But August 15th, 1999, I was moving in. I had on the tank top. She walked past and was like, damn. And I was like, hey, come in the room. You want to talk? But I had muscles in college, man. People didn't have. This is before YouTube.
Yeah.
I had muscles before people had muscles. So when I got to NC State, it was like, yo, who the fuck is this guy? My nickname was Swole. And on the football team, my name was Bam Bam. So I got two names indicating I'm lifting something.
Right.
I met her in college. She was so country, so down to earth, that I was like, yo, this girl is something else, man. She was a fighter. Speaking of fighting, I had to tell her, yo, stop coming to the dorm fighting boys and beating up on boys, you know, tomboy shit. Yeah, that's not cool. That's not sexy. Like you up here, you got a body,
right?
And you up here wrestling, they feeling on you. Like, yo, stop that bullshit, man, before I have to punch somebody in the face in school. So we became tight. We went from friends, because I don't remember ever saying, hey, this is my girlfriend.
Right.
We went from friends to married.
Wild.
I don't remember, with friends to engaged. I don't remember saying, hey, this is my girlfriend, Tam. No, I never had
just
a
known.
Never had a girlfriend. Like, no, this Tam, this Dre, we lift weights and we get married.
That's hard. You tell me about you're married and whatnot. What do you think? Do you think there's a difference between marriage and partnership, or do you think it's synonymous?
Marriage is more. Is there a difference between marriage and partnership? I think marriage is more of a commitment, because marriage is putting the shit on paper. Now, partnership, if you say, hey, we're in a partnership, that is you outcasting yourself from society, which is perfectly fine. You're saying, we're going to do this our way. I don't need to prove to you nothing. I don't need to explain nothing to you. But that's just not how the world works. I can't go lease a $100,000 Tahoe to partnership.
Oh, you're talking, you know, like the legal.
Yeah. So
I'm talking more so like, can people like partner? Because I feel like I know some people that are married, but they're not partners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Uh-huh. And I was just wondering if you felt like, okay, so if someone's married, should they automatically be partners? And what really does that mean, someone being in a partnership to you?
Well, for me, we were partners before marriage. Mm. So, hell, even in the gym, we're partners. That's the only person I ever, you know, that's the only person that I would ever consider a workout partner. But, you got to be partners before you even get into the whole marriage aspect. So, with my particular situation, yes, it's a partnership, but at the same time, somebody's got a little bit more weight, man. Somebody's right. holding a little bit more weight. I don't care if it could be 51-49. Somebody holding a little bit more weight.
Somebody holding a little bit more weight.
And
for
I grew up in a patriarchal household.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of was embedded in me that, you follow the Bible, I'm pretty sure it says it in there too, but like, yeah, we could communicate and be equal all day to an extent, but
right.
at the end of the day, I say yes or no.
So, mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. So do you think a man still hold those dynamics of, okay, I hear your side. Okay, if it feel like it makes more sense, cool. But if I say no, that's I'm leading this right. You know what I'm saying? Like follow up what I'm doing, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you think that dynamic would shift if like the woman is the breadwinner?
If the woman
can a man lead if a woman makes more money?
Your job doesn't give you hormones. Your job gives you money.
Right.
Okay. Your job ain't giving you testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make decisions all day.
Right.
At the end of the day, if there's a scary person standing on the porch, I'm going out there and we're going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a calculated thought that needs to be made, if there's something that needs to be decided, indicating where this family is going to go.
Right.
I don't care. Your job is paying you for your skill.
Right.
Okay. Women are hungry. Women are hungry. My sister's super hungry. Women are hungry. But your job is paying you for your skill. That's the difference between me. I got a buddy that's a stockbroker, make mm-hmm. a couple hundred thousand more than me.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that's what your job pays you.
Right.
I am paid to take a whole bunch of parts, put it on the Corvette, and convince you that you like it. That's my job. His job is to take your money, flip it, and get it back to you.
Right.
If he was sitting beside me right now, they ain't got shit to do with leadership. They got nothing to do with bravery, strength, aggression, assertiveness. You're making what your job pays you. So if a woman in a household is making something, that's because her job pays her to be a neurosurgeon.
Right.
Okay. I didn't go to school for being a neurosurgeon. I went to school to be a janitor.
Right.
So I went to school to be a janitor. I'm going to mop this damn floor.
Right.
But when I come home and I tell you to sit your ass down, mm-hmm. you stop operating to sit the hell down. But I'm being funny. But
yeah, I know you're being over. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But your job pays you, man. Like it don't even have to be church, man. It's just biology, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Unless I'm wrong about something.
Yeah, it's just biology. I feel like finances don't got nothing to do with who leading the household. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like. That's that only thing that determines is okay, you probably playing the majority or something. Mm-hmm. But as far as leadership, men are blessed with something differently. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We see things differently. Mm-hmm. We recognize threats much quicker. We mm-hmm. understand like the world differently. Mm-hmm. Like women understand other things much better than us.
Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to leading, I believe that's a man's position no matter what the financial situation is.
Right.
And I don't know if you've seen that clip recently that came out with Gayle King. She was being interviewed.
With who was interviewing?
I believe it was Ryan Clark, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You seen what I'm talking about?
I've seen her say something about black guys.
No, not that one. I don't think, but he was interviewing her, whatever, and you know, she was in a relationship with this guy.
Mm.
And
she gave him some money.
Right, he came to. He asked for $4,000, and he like it's a tight situation. Something came up with child support and something with the business. He said, "But look, today's Sunday. I pay you Thursday." And he paid a Thursday. But she said, after that, you know, even though he paid her back, she couldn't look at him the same no more.
So I went on a date and I was really excited about it.
We had gone out maybe 2 months, and then he said he really needed to talk to me. Do you think you could lend me $4,000? And I'm like, oh, God.
He jumped out with $4,000 out the gate? He didn't test the water?
You know what Oprah said? Oprah said, God, I would have felt better if he had said $40,000. Guys, but I was so crushed because here's somebody who was making, you know, six figures, successful. And when I said, you know, could I ask what it's for? He said, yeah, it was for a child support issue. And okay. And he said, you know, this was Sunday. And he said, I promise I'll pay you back by Thursday. I promise I'll pay you Thursday. Okay. But I wrote it. I wrote it because I thought it had to be very difficult for him to ask me. And he did pay me back on Thursday. But I didn't feel the same. I didn't feel the same. But he did, you know, to his credit, pay me back on Thursday. But it just changed the relationship for me.
She lost respect for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I dare he come to me thinking he can come to me for support as his girlfriend financially. And he even paid her back. But that's that part where I feel like, you know, they didn't have a partnership. Mm-hmm. Like, if you guys been in this relationship this whole entire time, like, a man been taking care of everything and he has a low moment, why wouldn't he be able to lean on his woman? You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Like, do you think your lady would lose respect for you if you had a low moment and you leaned on her financially?
I don't even need to have a low moment. My wife, it's funny when she get money, man, because she'll send it to me. Like ding, I'll get money while I'm at work. This was a while back. Before I make a little bit more now, but a while back she sent me some money. I guess she knew I needed it. Mm-hmm. That stuff comes in handy, man. Like, you never know what a man is flipping to make something happen.
Right.
You never know, man. What we might be balancing out that we probably don't want to. And I don't want to say we. I want to say I, because I don't know how all men think. But
right.
You never know what I am flipping, balancing, trying to make work. So just to have that woman, that partner.
Right.
But we don't care about no money, man. In my house, we don't care about no money. We don't care who got it, who paid what. We go out to eat. We don't have that problem. I guess after being married for 20 years is different, but
it's all going in that one bucket. Yeah. Like, it's the house.
We don't have that problem, man. We don't worry about no money. We don't. If you know, I don't even know how much she got.
Right.
I don't know how much she make. If she goes on a girls trip, she go on a girls trip. We do three trips a year: family trip, mommy daughter trip, and then my wife goes on a girls trip. I only get one trip. She get three. But when she go on her girls trip, I don't know how she paid for that. I just know I got the Delta account. Where you going? New York. Bam. Here's your ticket. You know, you sitting window seat, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she scrapped up to pay for that. Like, I don't care. Like, we don't, one thing we do not worry about is money, because it's too much of it out there. So going back to what that whole Gail thing, yeah, I looked at him differently. Because you are sitting at the table with billionaires.
Right.
So yeah, you're going to look at your boyfriend differently because he has to borrow $4,000, because probably she can't fathom a man not being able to grab $4,000.
Right.
It's like being a drug dealer. If I tell a drug dealer, hey man, I'm short $5,000. They're like, damn, we make $150,000 transactions.
Right.
Out here. You know what I'm saying? So you short $5,000, they can't fathom that level of broke.
Right.
So if you're a celebrity like Gail that's in set at the table with billionaires and stuff and seen the dumb shit that they do when they get high on cocaine, yeah, you can look at a man like $4,000.
Yeah. I mean, but it's women out there that make $50,000 a year, and a man asks for $400, they'll look at him the same way and lose respect for him.
Yeah.
So it's like a woman like that, I don't see what benefit she would be for anything in your life other than a hole.
Yeah.
Because like, that's not someone you want to get in the trenches with. Like, I have to be doing great the entire time, or if I fumble and I need support, I can't come to you. Uh-huh. If I do, you're going to leave and go to someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the benefit of having someone like that?
Well, if a woman that makes $50,000 and has an opinion about a man that needs to borrow $400, then she needs to go to a man that don't need to borrow $400.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that simple. You need to go to a man that doesn't need to borrow $400. You need to go to a man that's making $400K a year, but you're going to have to take everything that comes with that.
Some stuff come with that.
So if there's a woman out there that's making 50K and looks down at a man that's making 400, okay, you deserve a man that makes 300. But you're going to have to take everything that comes with him. I'm not saying that man is not a good guy, but you're going to have to compete the same way this brother that asked to borrow $400 competed. So if you are a cardio surgeon making, you know, if the man's a cardio surgeon making 500, he's flying to Japan,
right?
You know, every couple months, and he's mingling with women from India,
mm-hmm.
that make 500. He's mingling with women from damn Angola and Sri Lanka and Sweden, and you know he's mingling with women from countries where there ain't no black and white.
Right.
You know, you're mingling with you, so okay, yeah, you look down on this brother, but hey, just you know,
yeah,
expect what he may be looking at you, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it'll come back around full circle real quick because, you know, I don't know. I guess those type of people deserve each other. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, if you can't be someone that can be depended on in, 'cause life is peaks and valleys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're someone that can't be depended on when you're going in a valley, yeah, go ahead and go with someone that's super rich, but he's probably... Because it's certain rich people that's not like that. You know what I'm saying? But you deserve the one that fits your category. Like, he going to treat you like I own you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shut up. You don't deserve anything. I pay for everything, so you just do every single thing I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? No matter what you don't have no say in it.
Some people.
Yeah, yeah, some. Some are like that.
I got a buddy that makes a ton of money, but he don't look at it that way. But then it's crazy because, you know, living in North Carolina, there are some salaries out there that are unfathomable.
Right.
And California, like people that work at art galleries that make $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the car business,
mm-hmm.
it's a couple M's.
Yeah, for sure.
Million salaries in there. So, there are, so when it comes to people just having this expectation now, you know, I need more, I need better, I deserve better. That's perfectly fine, man. But there's going to come a time when look at us as young black men, right? And look at the salaries that maybe our parents had. So, and look at the salary. Shit, hell, my daughter probably make more than me off of just being a kid. Because she got two grandparents, four grandparents, two grands.
Oh wow!
So her Christmas be stupid.
Yeah,
and they all got a little bit of money. So because they ain't got no kids to pay for it.
Yeah,
so they spoil her. But anyway, I said this to say, if you look at the trajectory of incomes and how people are growing, there's gonna come a time where that might not even be a factor, man.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to start choosing your mate based on are they healthy,
right?
You know, are they healthy? Are they crazy? Are they bisexual? Or you know, or is this dude sneaking out with other dudes? Like that's what it's coming to.
Yeah,
that's what the man is masculine. My idea of masculine, my wife's idea of masculine, ain't the same.
Right.
So, the man is you. It's gonna come. A girl told me a long time ago. There's gonna come a time where a woman's gonna go home and say, "I saw a man. Guess what? I saw a man today." I forgot what book it was in. Well, a woman comes home saying, "Guess what? I saw a man today," and she doesn't mean I saw a physical specimen of a man,
right,
which means I saw the ideology of a man, the right ideal of a man. So there's going to come a time where a man is going to be rare. Hell, you can see it on social media now.
For sure.
A man's got, you got nothing against gay people, none of that shit, but you got like, it's cool to paint your nails.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's fashionable to paint your nails. You, if for some reason these guys got to wear skirts and dresses.
That's why I do an NBA ran one.
Yeah,
the dark skinned dude.
They all wear them.
Yeah,
they all wear the skirts and dresses. They're trying their best to just be as feminine as possible. I remember there was a term metrosexual. This was a few years ago. I don't know if people still say that, but it's like a man mm-hmm. that could be suave and then wear tight clothes, but you're still a man, but you're suave, metrosexual. Mm-hmm. There's no sexual to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't say sexual with anything I wear. But anyway, there's going to come a time where it ain't going to be about salary, man. It's going to be about, are you a man? I need a fucking man.
Yeah, for real. And now, talking about men, I don't know if you saw, do you see the thing that happened with Jacquees and Trey Songz?
No, that happened. I just saw that on TikTok today, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so... Obviously, they got in some type of altercation, right? Like allegedly.
Pull his hair, right?
Yes.
Trey Songz is a bitch. Period. This is a bro. Then you come outside the club and swing on your little brother. You was a bitch. About a bitch. That ain't even my bitch.
So what? Basically, what it sounds like is Trey Songz beat him up. Mm. And they was cool at one point, but they got in some type of altercation allegedly, and he got his locks pulled out of his head. But then Jacquees get online, just start talking trash, saying Trey Songz a bitch. I used to didn't think he had those allegations, but yeah, he sexually assaulted those women and all this stuff like that.
Dude. Then the world be telling you they hoes, and you try to go against it like, nigga ain't do that. That nigga did it. Nigga did it. That nigga did it. I don't know what y'all talking about, but he did it. Got it. I don't care what you're talking about.
My thoughts on Jacquees is like, yo, you sounding real like a chick right now. Mm-hmm. Like, so you got beat up. Uh-huh. Now you're going to try to use some allegations against the guy. Like, I would run back and get that fade again. We got to catch his fade again, fam.
Yeah.
Like, and how is that just going to change your perception of someone because you got in a physical fight with them? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he's reaching with that, but... You know, what are your thought process on how people can switch up on you because, and then even either say lies about you because they're upset?
Well, it goes back to being a bitch ass man. It goes back to the culture accepting a bitch ass man and soft man. I'm gonna stop cussing so much, but it goes back to the culture accepting a soft man, not calling Jacquees a bitch, but. I think a man should be able to control it. There are so many men in prison that couldn't control their emotions. He just did it the bitch way. So imagine if a gangster could control his emotions. Imagine the crazy kid in school with the trench coat who couldn't control his emotions. So people lash out in different ways. Jacquees just did what's acceptable in modern time. Not just him. Guys do it all the time. Like, you can get punched in the face. I've seen gang members get punched in the face on Twitter and then go to their phone like, hey, man, they punched me in the face. They beat me up. And their eyes be all swole up and leaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, man, that's just what people are having a hard time differentiating between the reality of me and you talking right now and the reality that's going to exist when you post it.
Right.
So right now we're breathing oxygen. We're communicating. We're in the same space. We got the same aura. Your ancestors are sitting over there. My ancestors are sitting over here. We got real shit going on. People have a hard time differentiating that this happens.
Right.
So when they go through trauma, such as getting your ass whooped by Trey Songz, what was he singing when he was beating them up?
That would be hilarious.
You gonna think?
Yeah.
You gonna think I invented boxing?
Don't he do that? Yeah.
To lash out and then to say, man, you did that. You did them charges. You did whatever. I mean, he's a celebrity too. He's been in damn studios with naked girls. He probably seen it happen. Not with Trey Songz, but he probably seen it happen. He probably seen girls get coked up and they stuck their wee wee in her or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he said, you did it. You probably saw it happen.
Right.
Not with Trey Songz, but you've probably been in studios where these girls are laid out, these runaways and shit sitting around in the studio, high on drugs and stuff. You probably, or girls that's desperate, probably had your share too. So don't sit up here and say, hey, man, you did that. You sexually assaulted these people. You know, worry about your own closet, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Worry about your own closet, especially when you're a feminine little boy.
For sure. Like,
and I don't know the guy, so I'm not talking about him on that, but I wouldn't hang out with him.
He like a lame to me. Straight lame. That was bitch ass nigga behavior to me, fam. Yeah. Like, period. Like, so like, and also like, you people that watch and don't say anything, they're just as worse as the offenders to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see like some woman being taken advantage of, I don't do something about it. I feel like I'm a bitch ass nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and the fact that he didn't have a problem or wanting to speak about anything until he got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
You look like a lame.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah. It just don't make sense to me. Like, so you ain't had no problem with him doing this alleged stuff that I don't know is true or not.
Yeah.
But you willing to uphold it now because you got into an altercation.
Was he speaking as if he was in the room or something? Or
nah, he was just saying, I used to didn't think he did it, but now I do.
Because he pulled his hair.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hell of an accusation, man, because there are some cultures of people that believe in death. By that, after doing that. And hell, if you go to jail, you're going to get beat up every day. If you, you know, took advantage of some. Well, I can't say that because I've seen, when I was working in there, I've seen pedophiles playing cards with Stone Cold Killers. So
right.
that's a damn myth. but yeah.
Yeah, it's odd, man. It's odd. So also, I did, you know, want to get to a point where people can, how can people follow what you got going on? You know what I'm saying? And what can they expect to see?
Man, okay, this is going to be the funniest answer you ever heard. I don't know what the fuck I got going on. So I'm more right now. I have another challenge. I have internal challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I have another challenge. I like this lifting weights shit.
Right.
Because when I was doing the Not Ray Lewis thing, physically, my workout was geared toward having a lean appearance as a linebacker.
Right.
I actually have a football card on my mantle over my fireplace. My wife is a Ray Lewis fan.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a football card, and it tells you his height and his weight.
Mm-hmm.
So before I did those videos, man, I would make sure I'm that weight. Real talk.
Right.
I would make sure I'm that height and that, you can't control your height, but I would make sure I'm that weight before I did the videos.
Right.
That's how serious I was about this shit. I used to tape my fingers, tape my wrists, all that. So I would go all out for those videos. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So when I was doing that, I was jogging. I was making sure I was lean. I kept a six pack at all times. So now it's like, all right, now I'm kind of not into that right now. So now it's like, you know, how strong can I be? And why I waited till 42 to decide how strong I wanted to be, I don't know. Who knows where I would have been if I'd done this at 25, 26, with a little bit more testosterone in my body. But yeah, it's just, what am I, Andre Boyd, 1981,
mm-hmm.
on my Instagram. My Facebook is Andre Boyd. If you want to follow me, just type Andre Boyd and look for this damn face, because there's a few Andre Boyds out there. I don't even log into my Twitter. Twitter is bullshit. I don't even log into my Twitter, but it's Andre Boyd, 1981 as well.
Yeah, for sure.
My YouTube is Andre Boyd, too. A-N-D-R-E-B-O-Y-D.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, something I wanted to ask you while we was talking about the families and stuff. I said, let me go ahead and get them in trouble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk about who is the prize in relationship and all this stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So what is your thought process on something like that when someone asks that or say they're the prize? What is your thoughts on that?
Man, let me tell you about these damn dudes on Facebook, man. I posted a status. I deleted it because everybody got emotional about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a status. For some reason, men, a lot of men, are not willing to admit that you ain't the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm a good looking guy. But when I see Jalen Hurts, I ain't that good looking. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking Stringer Bell. What's his name? Idris Elba. God made these people faces better than my shit. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So guys, I don't know if it's ego or what. I got the worst ego, but guys don't want to admit that you might not be the best, man.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not the best listener. Like, so with that, I know I might be drifting. You think I'm going to let my wife hang out with a guy that can listen? You know what I'm saying? You think I'm going to let my wife hang out with a guy that'll watch a Tyler Perry movie?
Right.
That'll listen and understand.
Yeah.
And listen when she's talking about work and listen to that shit. I would be stupid to do that. So I posted the status. I said, fellas, be the guy that you'd be jealous of if she chose him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they got mad as hell. Nah, she chose me. She liked me. Nah, I'm the guy. No. So sometimes I have to humble myself. So if my wife is talking and I'm not listening, or if I'm not being compassionate, or if I don't feel like showing up to a basketball game, one of my daughter's games, if I don't feel like being there, I got this whole social anxiety disorder. So when I go to these games, I start sweating real heavy and mm-hmm. shit. It's all these kids and everybody's breathing. When I'm around a whole bunch of people, they turn into bugs. It's like, yeah. They be like, like bugs yeah. and shit. So I have to say to myself, all right, be the guy that I'm that not necessarily that I'm like she's gonna leave me or anything, but be him.
The one you would be jealous of.
Be the guy that you'd be jealous of if she chose him.
Yeah.
You can't control how tall you are.
Right.
You can't necessarily control your musculature. You mm-hmm. know, that's just physique. Mm-hmm. But if there's a guy, if there's a side of you that's not listening, be the guy that's listening. And if there's a side of you, I come home, my wife does a lot around the house, like as far as cleaning dishes. Dude, I only got, only use 10 dishes a week because I plan my meals. Wash your fucking dishes, man.
Right,
like,
right.
So Dre, I don't like to, but Dre, wash your dishes.
Right.
Dre, you come home, you gotta wash your workout clothes or whatever. She was in a hurry. She had to, she got some clothes in the dryer. As difficult as it is to fold someone's clothes as small as she and my daughter are, try, man. Fold the clothes.
Yeah.
Fold the clothes, help out and do some things, you know, right. Because you don't want, in your head, and it's hard to explain, in your head, create this character that's doing that shit.
Right. Because there is some that out there that does it.
So imagine Jalen Hurts walking around your damn house. Jalen Hurts, he's a handsome guy. Imagine Jalen Hurts walking around your house, or if you got white followers, imagine, I don't know, Brad Pitt, I don't know who, like, Kelsey, that football player Kelsey.
Oh.
People love him. Mm-hmm. Imagine Kelsey walking around the house with his shirt off, folding clothes. Walking around the house with his shirt off, Jalen Hurts and Kelsey folding clothes and sweeping and shit.
Right.
You ain't going to beat that.
Right.
You have it in your head.
Right.
So that's where you got to compete for, you got to compete at all times and keep your woman, man, because we're the only species that don't fight over our woman.
Right. Anymore.
Yeah. Right. We don't duel over our woman. Man, guys would be like, what guys be saying? Man, I wanted to post this, but everybody got so mad about what I said the first time about, you know, be the guy that you be jealous of. You guys be like, man, she chose him. And I ain't gonna fight over no. Shitting me. Shit. If I like a woman, let's say I was single. If I like a woman, and she's expressing interest in me and somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and it's either or. I'm not saying she's physical with either or, but she's mm-hmm. expressing interest. He ain't gonna come around, man.
Right.
He ain't gonna come around. Like he there's gonna be a conversation. You know, I'm not just gonna beat my chest like a gorilla. You can't come around. Cause you ain't gonna be Jalen Hurts and Kelsey with your shirt off around my, you can't come around.
Right. So, you gotta eliminate things that,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like you got to, that's again that foresight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna eliminate the possibility. Because things in life, it don't matter how much you love, but in the right circumstances, anybody can break.
Yeah.
In the right circumstances. Yeah. So it's best to avoid.
So on wrestling, Macho Man, he was really married to Elizabeth, mm-hmm. Queen Elizabeth. Macho Man didn't let her come around. And she was in wrestling. She came around nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Macho Man wasn't having that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm the same way, man. I don't care if you go to her church. You don't text my wife. A deacon. Somebody texted like, hey, just checking on you. That's my job.
Right.
Man, I'll beat you up right in this church parking lot, man.
Right.
Like you don't open grounds for communication. Don't open doors for communication. If me and my wife and my daughter are coming to your house for a cookout,
mm-hmm.
If we're planning that cookout, unless it's like a surprise birthday party for you,
mm-hmm.
then I'll communicate with your wife, but it'll be through my wife.
Right.
I don't text her and say, hey, you know, what time we coming over?
Right. That's weird behavior.
That's weird. Like, why can't I just text you?
Right.
I don't even feel comfortable. Unless it's like my sister-in-law, I don't feel comfortable with the whole Mother's Day, sending a Mother's Day text.
No.
I'll text my homeboy and say, hey, tell Jazz happy Mother's Day. Tell Jazz happy birthday, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even do that. If I'm coming to y'all crib, I'll say it. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm not reaching out. Like, in my phone, like my homies' wives, I don't even have them in there as their name.
Yeah.
I got Toby wife.
Yeah.
That's her name.
Yep.
It's his wife.
Yeah.
I got my homie Real wife. They don't even have names.
Dude, I'm so damn. I don't know if it's corny or old fashioned, but if I go to my buddy's house, I went to a buddy's house recently, and we were all sitting in there, and he had a friend there, a male.
Mm-hmm.
And the male started a conversation with my wife. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's me, you, my wife, your wife. They're talking. I'm old fashioned. Women talk, men talk. Mm-hmm. We go outside, smoke a cigar, whatever, drink, whatever. We sit out on the patio area and we talk outside.
Right.
Women stay inside. Girls go upstairs and play. Kids go upstairs and play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I'm corny like that, but old fashioned like that. So we happen to all be in the same space. So it's me, you, and you bring a friend. The friend asks, "So what do you do for a living?" or something like that. I didn't really speak on it, but dude, that made me feel so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because like, no, you don't break that plane. You don't start a conversation. Because why the fuck are you interested? You know, and I never even spoke on it, but it's one of those things where with me, when you say, "Hey Dre, I'm having a gathering, come over," I don't want to ask, but who all gonna be there?
Right.
Because I don't wanna have to get into it with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my friend. Me and you grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this guy. You know, so
I think it's inappropriate for like some dude to be, or male, female, whatever, like you had one-on-one conversations with my wife. Why you had a one-on-one conversation? Like, okay, we can talk everyone in the room together and y'all, you know what I'm saying, bouncing stuff off of each other. We playing games, we laughing, we joking. Yeah. But yeah, you ain't just gonna sing out my lady, like, and I ain't around and y'all having conversation.
Yeah,
like,
you don't either. And see, like, okay, so with my wife and I, we're big into fitness. So if we're at another couple's house or a cookout or whatever, and the woman asks fitness tips, my wife might not be able to articulate the way I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll chime in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll chime in and speak on the fitness tip.
Right.
But like, I'm not just gonna, unless we know each other like from a long time ago, I'm not gonna just sit there and interact with nobody's woman. I don't acknowledge women at all.
Right.
In my day to day. Only time I'll joke around with my classmates
mm-hmm.
on Facebook. Because mm-hmm. if at any given moment my wife decides to pick up my phone and check it, it's gonna be somebody I went to high school with.
Right.
That I'm talking shit to. Mm-hmm. Because that's I've been talking shit to him since third grade.
Right.
But it's like, as far as like, I don't in interactions and in the gym and dude, I'm looking at work. You know, fortunately, I don't have any women at work. But and I don't mean that to be sexist, but like the rumors and all that shit that I went through in my life.
Yeah,
ain't trying to get that shit right now. I'm doing too well.
Right, right.
To deal with that shit right now.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So the last thing I want to do this segment: love, loyalty, or respect. You let me know what's the most important in this particular relationship: love, loyalty, or respect. So when it comes to
that's deep.
Your best friend, what's the most important? Love, loyalty, or respect? Outside of your wife, like your homie that you grew up out the mud with.
I don't care who you name. The answer is loyalty. I don't care who it is. Don't make me imagine.
Ooh.
I don't want to imagine. Me imagining is a fucked up guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me imagine. So if I don't have to imagine, I'm okay. Because me, I'm a creative. I paint pictures. They're very graphic in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, to the point where I have to take a paintbrush and literally paint the shit. I paint graphic pictures.
Right.
Don't make me paint. I don't want to fucking paint.
Right.
So in a relationship with me, when love, loyalty, or respect, don't make me paint what the fuck you said when I left.
Right.
Don't make me paint what conversation you're having behind my back.
Because
if I paint it, it ain't going to be pretty. It's never going to be pretty. It's never going to be me painting the picture that you said, man, Andre is a great guy. I'm not talking, I'm just speaking. It's never me. If I feel like I have to paint a picture, if I feel like there's a level of trust not there,
right.
When I walk out of that room, I'm not painting the picture that you say, you know what, that Dre, he's a great guy. He's very, very trustworthy. He's a motivational guy. He speaks well. You know, he's an influencer. That's not the picture I'm painting.
Right.
When I walk out that room, I'm painting the picture that you said, man, that fucking Drake, man, he's an arrogant piece of shit. I can't stand him. I'll punch him in the face if I was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
That's the picture I'm painting. Don't make me paint the picture, because that's the most stressful thing. If you don't love me, I'm still not painting the fucking picture.
Right.
If you don't, respect me, at least it's in my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of times we think the worst to protect ourselves. Because you don't want to be disappointed. So I'm going to go ahead and think the worst.
Yeah.
So, that's like, if point. Anything, like I'm going to be happy about it. Yeah. Like, oh, it's not what I thought.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That. So I know that's in most situations. So, but what's the most important love, loyalty, or respect when it comes to your child?
At 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. At 12. At 12, love, loyalty, and respect. What did I... loyalty.
Gotcha. Same. Okay, same.
Because I've had this conversation with my daughter before. You know, she was doing her friends... She doesn't have a TikTok, but I'm going to tell you, these kids, man, what they'll do is they'll get on the group chat.
Mm-hmm.
All 12 of them don't have TikTok, but one of them does.
Yeah, they send it.
So they'll get on a group chat FaceTime. Like, what the fuck? How the hell they figure that out? They get on a group chat FaceTime, and one of them will dance, and then the one who has the TikTok will post it. So you got kids, parents, you got kids that are on TikTok that don't have TikTok accounts. TikTok is full of pedophiles. That's why... These little girls get so many followers. Those ain't kids following them. Those are old-ass men following these little girls. So when I say that, loyalty, right? I had this conversation with my daughter, and I said, there may come a time in your life, I hope to God it never happens, but there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to tell the truth because somebody's going to die. Mm-hmm. You know? So, whether it's college, whether it's, you know, whatever, college or dating boys, whatever women go through in life, I'm going to need you to tell the truth so I'll know how to execute and how to maneuver.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You can fall out of love with me when you turn 26. You can fall out of respect for me because of my patriarchal nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I need that loyalty there, because if I have to imagine that this boy is hitting you,
right,
if I have to imagine that you went to this party and this happened to you, somebody's gonna be hurt.
Right, right.
Don't make me imagine.
Okay, so I got a two-part question for you.
Okay.
Okay, so when did you become interested in football, and when did you realize that you could actually be dominant in the sport?
In football?
Yeah.
I became interested in them. I watched Barry Sanders. I watched the Raiders. I watched Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen. I watched football. But ultimately, having a brother and his group of friends, they were all 4 years older than me. So going to his games and watching him play, you know, that's what made me. I was never interested in football, but where I'm from, you got to play.
Right.
I'm from that town.
Yeah.
If you thick, you playing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird because if you see bigger guys and they're not playing, people call them, what they say, good for nothing.
Yeah, you're big for nothing.
Big for nothing, good for nothing. So where I'm from, you got to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something where, oh, man, I just want to be a great football player. I want to be good at football. You know, no, it was mandatory.
Yeah.
And then I'm competitive. I just put two and two together and I said, okay, I'm not the fastest guy, but I'm angry as hell and I'm stronger than everybody. Mm-hmm. So make it make sense to me where if I'm lined up against this guy and I'm stronger than everybody in the state of North Carolina, explain to me why he's going to knock me down. Please explain to me.
Right.
Physics weren't making sense. I'm an educational kid and I'm strong. Physics weren't making sense. So when I put two and two together, I said, okay, well, I can make this happen. But that was high school.
Right.
It got different in college.
Yeah, yeah.
It was different in college.
Yeah. It's country. Like, it ain't just Carolina. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
They coming from everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, dope, dope. So, okay, like you were saying, like, football is an aggressive sport. And a lot of times people who play, it's an outlet to release like anger and things like that. And I wanted to know, you know, was that something that you dealt with?
Anger? No, I was more of a Renaissance kid, man. Give me a painting or a poem. I'm good.
Yeah.
Playing football, I became, honestly, more vindictive. Mm. I became jealous playing football. So when I got, all my anger was released in practice, but it wasn't toward what's going on in life. It was toward him.
Like the competitive nature?
Yeah, it was toward him. If I saw, if I saw that news camera come to you after a game, I'm knocking your ass out.
Yeah.
I'm knocking you slam out. If I saw that news character come to you, if I saw you pick at a kid that was mentally challenged,
yeah.
If I saw you pick at somebody's shoes. So for me, it wasn't me releasing anger toward anything that's going on. If I did something out of anger and animosity, it was your ass.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, I'm good. I make all A's. I'm good. I make all A's. Girls think I'm cute. I have curly hair and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm good on that.
Yeah.
But I don't like your ass.
Ah.
So that's where my aggression in football was personal.
Got you. Sound like you was Batman in that mug,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I'm a superhero to this day, man. I save a life at least once a week.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I did want to ask you also, okay, have you always been a naturally bigger guy, or did you hit a growth spurt later?
I was big. I'm naturally fat. I'm a naturally fat guy. Just you know, there's three body types. You got endomorph, ectomorph, mesomorph. Mesomorph people are like Terrell Owens, Shannon Sharp. Those are mesomorphs. They can wake up. They wake up built. I had a guy I played football with that was so mesomorphic that he had to have a surgery to cut the membrane surrounding his muscle because his muscle was growing too far. There's a membrane that covers your muscle called the facial membrane,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps, for lack of, not to get too graphic, but it's like a condom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so all your muscles have a condom around
your
facial membrane. If you're too muscular, genetically, sometimes in certain body parts you got to get that cut.
Yeah,
and he was that muscular. This guy I played college ball with. But anyway, I'm endomorph. Mm-hmm. I'm more geared toward fat. Holding on to fat, but I'm kind of like in between. It's called endomesomorph. So I'm in between. I could be fat or I could be cut.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for me to be cut, I got to starve. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in between. So my natural frame, given the fact that my daddy was shaped like a damn grizzly silverback,
mm-hmm.
Given my frame, I was naturally heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as musculature, I kind of developed that toward my senior year in high school.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, y'all heard it here first, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, we done had some dope conversations, man. Mm-hmm. We done went over so many different things.
All over the damn shit.
So y'all make sure y'all tune in to what he got going on. Hey, he don't know where he going, but I can guarantee you some high places.
I got invited to the biggest bench press contest in social media.
Mm.
I got invited to that. It was in California. CT Fletcher invited me to go
bench press
there. But dude, I'm not at a point where I could just hop on a plane and go to California in a month's notice because I have responsibilities at work. I'm pretty sure they would have let me go.
Yeah.
They would have let me go, but like, damn, dude, California.
Yeah, that's a long way.
Yeah. But I'll go to the next one for sure, and I'll be stronger, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'll have my diet and my nutrition dialed in. Hopefully I'll find a gym soon.
Dope.
But, yeah.
Well, we're going to be tuning in, man. We're going to be watching your journey. Y'all, I'm going to have his information in the link below. So definitely tap in. And until next time, you hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace. Big Swole.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.